Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome to Tampa Bay's Synergy Connection. I have as my returning guest, Dr. Paula Nelson. And Paula is going to be talking to us today about addictions and recognizing when you're in trouble, especially during the holidays. So welcome back, and I'm glad to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me back, Lucy. I think that this is a very timely topic. How can you have a holly jolly holiday when you're recovering from an addiction, right? Everybody's looking forward to the holidays, and this is a big trigger.
I would think so. I know that there are a lot of different things that can cause the trigger, so I think you want to go over some of those.
Okay, so let's start with, what is a trigger? A trigger can be anything that brings back thoughts and feelings that have to do with the addiction. For instance, if you're a gambling addict, having the football game on Thanksgiving Day is a trigger. Triggers bring back memories. Triggers cause the addict to think about the drug obsessively. You know, you think about it, and that's an obsession. Obsession results in compulsion. Compulsion is the behavior to relieve that obsession. So it results in drug-seeking, drug-wanting behaviors.
Okay, so you mentioned the football games, and almost everybody that I know, while the turkey is in the final stages and the side dishes are being prepared, one of the things that the guys typically do, sometimes the gals are joining them now, but they'll be watching a particular football game. So if somebody had a gambling addiction, and yet everybody else was watching the football game,
right?
What would they maybe do?
The other people or the addict?
The person that has the addiction.
Yeah.
mean, because the rest of them, you're not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't watch football because.
Right.
So what would be something that they maybe would be able to do and still be part of the festivities?
I think actually having to remove themselves, you know, maybe help in the kitchen, go walk the dog, remove yourself from the football game, or talk to somebody who knows about your addiction and can be supportive. But I think setting boundaries is really helpful as well. You know, if it's your family and friends who know that you have this addiction, ask them to be supportive and perhaps not watch the football game. Let's turn on the parade.
Yeah, well, the parade's a little bit earlier, but there's a new game that I've been hearing recommended by a number of people. It's called Blank Slate. Have you heard it?
No, I haven't.
And, you know, so I actually ordered one because a lot of parties during the holidays, if you have the opportunity to play a game, a group game, as opposed to maybe watching a television show of some sort, can be fun, and it's very interactive. And with Blank Slate, you divide yourself up into teams. And then one team is trying to figure out what the other team would say. So you have a phrase. How would you finish?
Oh, that's fun.
Phrase? And so maybe if there was an addiction that involved either, you know, drinking because of stress or seeking a drug because of stress, or, you know, thinking about gambling because that was their addiction, maybe they can go find a couple of games that would entertain the family and occupy them until dinner was served.
Right. You know, distract yourself from the obsessive thought. Good. That's a great idea. Yeah.
I'm advertising for Target these days because I think they said that Blank Slate is only available at Target.
Really?
Yep. And that's where I had to get mine online from them. Okay. So that's part of it is recognizing that trigger. Mm-hmm. What else do we need to be looking at?
Well, actually, the number one trigger for people to use, and I want to make this point. The only reason we use is to change the way we feel. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason we were uncomfortable with our feeling and we want to anesthetize it, whether it's a behavioral addiction like gambling or addiction to alcohol or drugs. And the number one trigger to use and to be uncomfortable over this season is getting together with family. So it's stressful family dynamics. Mm-hmm. And we could probably spend a whole show just on that. But from the various perspectives, even as simple as going over to the family gathering and having alcohol there. You know, they say if you want to stay dry, stay out of wet places. So even as simple as that, you know, that can be a trigger. You know, and then there's often old wounds. You know, when you're an alcoholic, when you're a drug addict, you act out and get into arguments and conflicts with family members. So there might be unresolved old wounds, you know, old conflicts that come to the surface.
Right. I guess the one thing that I always was aware of with my own counseling practice was those feelings that have not been resolved. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, didn't get into family therapy, and the addict, you know, did his or her therapy and understood the reasons behind their behavior. But then the family dynamics, as you said, were never resolved. And mm-hmm. so every time you put the whole group back together, it's like walking on eggshells. You don't know right. what's going to trip the trigger mm-hmm. that will cause that person to, you know, maybe bounce over into a territory that is very conflicting.
Right, right. You know, and about 3 out of 5 people with an addiction are what they call adult children of addicts and alcoholics, ACOAs. So you're going back into that family system, and those people may still be, you know, using alcohol or drugs, or maybe what they call a dry drunk, where they stopped drinking but haven't done their own work, like you were just saying, haven't gone through therapy, haven't gone to a 12-step program to change the behaviors associated with the addiction.
Right.
So,
and you always have that injured child in there someplace, mm-hmm. you know, so they may be an adult at this point, but the child is still looking through the eyes of the adult and seeing things that they remember.
Right, right. So. You know, so it causes a lot of feelings to come to the surface. And again, that's the trigger to anesthetize those feelings somehow.
Right. Yeah. Right. Hmm. So how about financial stress? What happens with that?
Well, you know, even if you're not an addict, you know, we were talking on the last show about how financial stress is a problem for couples and people at the holidays. But financial difficulties with addiction are very common. You know, it's an all-consuming disease. You know, the financial stability is rare. People may have lost their jobs, or they can't work in their old careers because their old careers were a trigger, and they're starting new careers. So they're struggling to maintain or find employment. There might be outstanding bills from treatment, counseling, fines. So, you know, for someone in recovery, the financial stress of the holidays adds a layer onto the normal financial stressors that we have, you know, travel, gifts, clothing, you know, all the special things that cost so much during the holiday season.
I always chuckle because people living down here in Florida have given away the majority of their warm clothes because we just don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I know an awful lot of people who travel north for the holidays. And so either you need to have a set of clothes there that, you know, that person keeps for you
right.
upon arrival that you can start wearing, or you're going to end up having to purchase things mm-hmm. to keep you warm if you go north.
And, that's a good point.
So I often wonder why people give away everything when they get down here. It's like, you know, you might end up going back north for a little bit.
Right, right. You know, there's so many unforeseen financial, you know, stressors. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of shame associated with that as well. If you're recovering from an addiction, it's cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, health costs, treatment. You know, getting the drugs and alcohol, the fines involved. And when you don't have the money to give a gift or, you know, to get that new outfit or those warm clothes, it brings up, again, very uncomfortable feelings of shame,
sure.
embarrassment, that, you know, or trigger to anesthetize.
Right.
So.
Do you happen to watch any of the Hallmark Hall of Fame Christmas movies?
I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I love them. I'm a hopeless romantic. But one of the shows sort of dealt with that in its own way. Mm-hmm. And the family members were quite wealthy that were involved, you know, mm-hmm. in the movie. But they made the decision, because one of them was having problems financially, that they wouldn't give gifts that year, that mm-hmm. they would make something.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, the kids were all involved and the adults were all involved, and they found various ways to gift one another with something that was handmade.
Oh.
And so it was really very special,
yeah.
instead of, you know, going to the catalogs or shopping online. Or,
right, right. Yeah.
So that was another way they handled it.
Mm-hmm. That's a great, that's, yeah, that's a tearjerker.
Maybe that's why I like it. I don't know. But it always has a happy ending. And
yeah.
there's so many things in our life that do not have happy endings.
Mm,
so
true.
I look for the ones that do. When a person's routine changes, mm. you know, like during the holidays, we have days off.
Right.
And again, we might be traveling,
mm-hmm.
but we're out of that comfort zone. You know, that is a routine.
Right.
And so how about situations like that, where mm-hmm. all of a sudden you have a block of time of maybe a week, 10 days,
mm-hmm.
where you don't have a routine at all. And so now those emotions kind of come to the surface of, wow, you know, how am I going to manage?
Right, right. You know, and routine is essential for recovery. You know, the self-care involved, you know, eating well, exercising, going to 12-step meetings. If you attend 12-step meetings, I have clients in my practice who are recovering addicts, and the routine is essential to ongoing abstinence. You know, they wake up in the morning and do morning meditations and, you know, a slow, easy start to the day, and exercise, and the special foods, and you know, there's people with eating disorders, you know, that are extremely triggered during the holidays, because that's another addiction. So it's important to maintain any semblance of the routine. Bring some food with you that, you know, are safe foods. Check out where 12-step meetings are in the area. So it's essential to try to, you know, replicate your routine anywhere you travel or during those days off.
I think it's most likely more difficult if you're staying with family, like you're going back north.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a number of people I know that are going to be traveling, so mm-hmm. you're out of your zone.
Right.
And it's not like you can get on an airplane anymore and take food even, because you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you're flying, you know, you're at the mercy of whoever you're staying with once you get there, and
right.
hoping that they understand and can be supportive. Aren't there like 13 different addictions? Because, you know, we're using the word addiction,
mm-hmm.
but I think an awful lot of people don't understand that it's so much more than smoking or eating or
right.
alcohol or drugs. And so when you see people, and when I saw people, some of the less commonly known addictions, even shopping, you know, there
yes.
are people who are mm-hmm. shopaholics, and, you know, they know mm-hmm. that their credit cards are almost maxed out. And yet they cannot stop themselves. I saw a young lady that was a college student one time who just, you know, was a crazy kind of a shopper, where her dorm was full of things that she could not possibly begin to use. And her family would come to visit her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, what are you doing?
Right.
But she was so lonely, and she had depression that had not been diagnosed properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, going to the store was her way of kind of soothing herself. It was giving to herself.
Right. Fills her up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
What are some of the other less common ones that you are aware of that you've seen?
Well, actually, a common one that we don't think of is workaholics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the time off during the holidays is really difficult for the people who are workaholics.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I mean, we think about that as some as a healthy addiction, but you know, it can be very damaging as well.
Right.
You know, it disconnects the member, you know, the person from their family and significant other, and you know, it's you know, again, that obsession to have to do. You know, the workaholics will often then get into a million projects during the holidays. Mm-hmm. And again, it keeps them isolated from the activities and the family members.
Right.
So.
Right. They're always going out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, some place that they mm-hmm. have to be. And another one that surprised me, because it's a sanctioned, as far as the community is concerned, mm-hmm. it's a sanctioned addiction, and that's volunteering. When you volunteer to the extent that your family never sees you,
right.
It's a need to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's another one that people very seldom talk about, but it certainly affects families.
True. Exercise addiction.
Yep. They know? Like to look at themselves in the mirror. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the compulsive need to exercise, and, you know, the person will leave the holiday festivities and go out running or try to find a local gym. And,
here in our area, they can plug into Turkey Trot.
Because
I think that's a 5K. And a lot of people get involved with that because it's mm-hmm. a charitable cause. Right. And then they can go eat turkey and sweet potatoes and not mm-hmm. worry about it because they've already run a bunch of calories off.
I actually had a client with a porn addiction. Pornography, and was abstaining from looking at pornography and doing really well, and interestingly enough ended up on Pinterest looking at holiday, you know, decor on Pinterest, and Pinterest led her back to pornography.
She
went down the rabbit hole online. And
is that because she had gone there before and so Pinterest knew? I mean, Google knows everything.
I know. She somehow clicked on something in Pinterest, and one thing led to another. You know how it takes you site to site. And
right.
She ended up relapsing.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And then look at the number of, this always just floors me, but the number of teachers in the schools that you have no idea as you hire them that they maybe have pornography addictions in their background.
Mm-hmm.
We think about the alcohol or something like that.
Right.
But we don't think about addictions to pornography.
Right.
And yet the laptops show it all.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if there is any clue that that's going on and they seize your laptop, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been exposed. And that has happened a lot here in Pinellas County.
You know, that makes me think about a new trigger to addiction is social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because on Facebook and Instagram, everybody's posting pictures of the happy family.
Mm-hmm.
And I my clients will come in and say, I'm looking at everybody's postings and everybody's happy but me.
Right.
You know, everybody has someone but me.
Right.
So I mean, that's a whole, you know, another area that can trigger those feelings of loneliness and isolation and, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not lovable, you know,
right.
Everyone has somebody but me.
Right. Which, you know, in turn makes them look towards drugs and
mm-hmm.
alcohol as
mm-hmm.
a way to cope. So
yeah.
It is a vicious cycle.
Yeah, because my drug of choice or my bottle is never going to
steep.
It's never going to betray me. It's always mm-hmm. going to be my best friend.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I think a cuddly cat or dog might work equally well and maybe better.
I know, therapeutic.
Yeah. Right. Oh, goodness gracious. So we do have boredom, depression,
mm-hmm.
loneliness,
mm-hmm.
and loss. And, With my husband having died a year ago, I know I keep hearing from hospice, but there are hospice and funeral homes all throughout Pinellas County, and I'm sure throughout the world for some of our listeners that offer programs during the holidays. And it's not necessarily a 12-step kind of program, but what it is if you need to go and talk, they have support groups, and the support groups give you an opportunity to actually
That's
go
wonderful.
over your losses. And sometimes just talking about it is all you need. That listening ear, somebody to say, I understand, because they feel like nobody does understand.
Yeah, hospice is wonderful. I have some friends who are counselors for hospice and run the bereavement groups and the support groups, and they're great people. The services are wonderful. The 12-step programs offer a lot of marathon meetings and gatherings and activities during the holidays too. Community, turkey dinners and Christmas parties, and so it's a safe place to be where you can be sober and still have fun and celebrate.
That's very, very true. The majority of people that I worked with do typically, and let's see if this is true for you too, they typically move from the addiction that was so destructive to another addiction.
True,
But
true.
it may be a whole lot less destructive, like volunteering or work or doing something like
Exercise, yeah,
exercise, because addictive personalities don't honestly and truly change. It's not like you're going to go into your closet and put on a whole new wardrobe and now be a different person. So you just kind of tweak it a little bit until something clicks where, okay, this feels comfortable. Is that pretty much what you found?
Well, also, I think, going to therapy, I think the 12-step programs are fantastic. I think coupled with therapy, you get more bang for your buck because in therapy, you can explore the feelings, and it's usually the family of origin. The feelings that of I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm inadequate. You can explore those feelings, and once you work through your feelings, then you have less need to anesthetize. You learn how to cope and manage,
That's very
those
true.
feelings. So I think that I'm a big advocate, of course, for treatment.
Well, and I always was during my practice, so that's very true. I think we're getting better, especially since Robin Williams died and other very well-known individuals. It's still a little bit of a bugaboo for a lot of people to
It
say,
is.
I am suffering from depression, or I have manic cycles, or I am bipolar, or whatever it might be. It's difficult.
There's still the stigma.
And yet at the same time, I know when I was seeing people, it runs in families, and if you have a history in your family of depression or bipolar, in all likelihood, you are going to pass that on from generation to generation to some degree. It might not be as bad, it might be manageable. Between therapy and maybe medication, other kinds of activities, but it's nonetheless there.
And we actually go back three generations to look for addiction in families, because oftentimes I'll have clients that come in and say, "No, there's no addiction in my family." And it's like, well, both sides of the family, if you go back three generations, back three generations, they didn't talk about addictions.
No, that was kept in the closet, for sure.
And so there wasn't the realization that that person was actually, addicted to food or, so it's hard to trace, but you're right, it runs in families. So
That little bit of chemical disorder that runs around in the brain.
But the feelings of depression and loneliness and loss, again, going to the 12-step meetings and working the steps and combining that with therapy, helps to heal, from those feelings without having to anesthetize them. And staying away from social media, because everyone looks so happy
right.
on Facebook. Nobody posts those miserable pictures. They post the happy pictures. If you can limit your exposure to social media, then you're going to feel less depression and isolation and loss.
Right. Do you ever recommend to people that, they journal? Maybe
that's
some
a
of
great
their,
tool.
Yeah, because I use that a lot in my own therapy with people. Is sometimes just getting the words down on paper and reading them. Help
right.
the person cope with whatever emotion that they're experiencing.
There's a lot of tools. I think that we're going to be talking more about the tools next time, when you're gracious enough to have me back. But the urges and cravings, if you take note of your self-talk, we unconsciously give ourselves these messages, that I need to have a cigarette in order to relax. I need to do this in order to feel better. We give ourselves, such negative messages. I'm lonely. Nobody loves me. Everybody has someone, so journaling, like you were saying, on that really helps you to stand back and look at it and say that's an irrational thought.
Right. Yeah. Right. There was a book that was very instrumental for people who had been sexually abused. And within that book, there is a little short poem, and you've probably seen it, about walking down a street and there's a hole
right,
in the street
right,
and you
yeah.
fall in.
Uh-huh.
And so, that whole concept of learning to walk down a different street, not down the one where all of the triggers are.
Right.
That
right.
makes the difference for that individual, so that they can look back and say, I was here and now, look where I've come. I've progressed and now I'm here.
Yeah.
And so being able to pat yourself on the back and just say, good job.
Right.
You're doing an amazing thing about taking care of you.
Yeah. That reminds me of the saying in the 12-step meeting, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That is so very true. So, just maybe to touch on for just a minute, there are warning signs. And I know we're going to talk, not next week because it's Thanksgiving, but the following week, about how to maybe recognize a couple of the warning signs. And since Thanksgiving is next week, do you
right.
want to give us maybe one or two warning signs that could help either the person that has the addiction or maybe a loved one that is watching to
right.
make sure they are supporting that individual?
I think that look for the feelings. When you have feelings, the addict and the family member or the significant other, be aware of the feelings. If there's anger, if there's resentment, if there's self-pity starting to dominate the thoughts or the talk, remind yourself these are feelings, not facts.
Right.
And although they're real in the moment, this too shall pass. So I think that if you can be aware of your feelings and the journaling comes in, to
maybe carry the journal with you if you're going out of town.
Yeah, yeah. But, your friends and family, ask them for feedback. If you see me, acting in a certain way or being miserable, let me know.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that would be a really easy one for most people to do. I mean, I know we're busy with putting the marshmallows on the sweet potatoes and getting everything in the oven and onto the table. But maybe if there could be one designated person that the addictive person talks to and just says, I'm going to pull you into my confidence.
Right.
And I want you to help me be aware if I'm sliding.
Right, right.
And so that way everybody doesn't have to watch, but the one person can.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen,
good.
I truly appreciate you being my guest again.
Well, thank you.
Next Thursday, as I said, is Thanksgiving, and I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving wherever you are in the world. Also, on the 29th, Paula is going to join us again, and she's going to conclude this discussion of addictions. and the recognition and the coping skills that a person needs if they have, you know, been struggling for maybe a long time with a particular addiction and are just now willing to take a look at it.
Right,
you know, because
right.
sometimes it takes years before anyone is it ready does. To honestly and truly address it. So that is where we are, and I totally appreciate everyone listening. All I can say is happy Thanksgiving, and make it your best day. Thanks so much.